I'm calling the meeting of the Health Education Social Services to order. Meeting to order. Let the record show that we are now May 20th, 1983. Time is 1:09 p.m. in the afternoon. Members present. Mr. Kopanen, Ms. Herman, Mr. Davis, Dr. Fritz, and Nate Tischer. First on the agenda of three bills on the agenda, House Bill 347, an act relating to licensing of practitioners of naturopathic medicine, providing for an effective date. Let the record show that Mr. Dahl is present. House Bill 194, which is an act relating to the education of exceptional children. And sponsor substitute for House Bill 191, which is an act relating to school board negotiations with certified. I would like to announce now that our meeting will adjourn shortly before 2:30 because members of the committee will have are called to the House chambers at that time. And so what we will do is proceed along the lines of expediency and do as much as we can within that amount of given time. First on the bill. First of all, we've heard House Bill 347 at least once before in committee, and we have first to testify among one of the four people, Representative Martin, who is the sponsor of House Bill 347. So please come forward.
I took my folder sometimes.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Tischer, for the record, my name is Terry Martin, Representative East Anchorage, District 13, and want to apologize for not being here the first time that you had the bill up. But
Mr.
I do feel it's
Mr.
important.
Martin, may I interrupt you for just a
yes.
moment? I should have announced that the committee in their file has a committee substitute that has been submitted for consideration, and I'm not sure that you're aware of that substitute. Do you have it? Very well. Are you prepared to speak on that then? Is that what your discussion will be about? In that case, perhaps we ought to ask the committee to let me ask that. In our last would you refresh Chair's memory? Did we officially bring the committee substitute the committee in a prior meeting? I don't think that we did we?
It was in the folders, but it was not adopted for discussion.
Okay. Is it the pleasure then of the sponsor that the substitute be for purpose of discussion or the original bill?
Well, Madam Chairman, for me, basically I just wanted to give a general statement since I was absent the first meeting that you had, and say that this bill has been entered last year on behalf of many constituents in my area. And generally, although I was in the past very concerned and very narrow-minded, I thought on medical practice, just with the MDs, my physicians being the ones able to serve the people, if 5 years of experience with the U.S. Public Health Service and communicable diseases and traveling all around the nation in Alaska and then also working in private sales of medical software and hardware, become very well aware that a major part of health is a person's attitude. And in many cases, people did not choose to go to so-called private physicians, but to other specialties and other individuals they had more confidence in. And perhaps for one reason or another, thought this was the answer to the problem. So therefore, I've become very open-minded in allowing the citizens to go to the health providers that they felt would be most appropriate for their needs. I'm no specialist in the medical field, to say the least, but I do believe in openness, and that I believe the naturopath, at least in Anchorage, have certainly proven themselves, and the people up there have a very strong constituents that feel, even though they are going to naturopath now, and it's questionable if it's legal or not being legal. Those people who are professional people are trying to be licensed, and I feel that they're being above board with the state and the legislators and letting them know what they are doing, the large number of people that go to them for health services, and that we should honor these people, plus the professional people. I've had no time to review the committee proposed substitute, Madam Chairman, but I'll leave it strictly in the committee's hands to the best of your judgment what is best in this field. As long as we do allow and try to license these professional people.
Thank you, Representative Martin. And Mr. Fulton has a question.
Yes, in the course of the testimony and the teleconference, was stated by one of the naturopaths that actually there are only four practicing naturopaths in the state, two of whom are practicing as are licensed as chiropractors and are really in that specialty. And of the two remaining, one opposes the bill and one is in favor of the bill. In that event, is there an overwhelming public pressure for the passage of this particular legislation, especially since it does appear to put a burden on the state, precisely because the profession hasn't grown to the extent that it can have a self-governing board. It doesn't have enough.
Madam Chairman, the main thing, as far as I think that's happening here, is that those people in that profession do want to make sure they are scrutinized, so that if the average citizen is hearing more and more about naturopath, it is possible that someone would be a pseudo-professional, and these people do not want to be taken advantage of for the good job and what they have been doing for patients that go before them. As far as the nitty-gritties of the bill, I'm sure that every professional field, whether it be architects or engineers, that there should be slight differences within the law. The main thing is, should they be licensed in the state of Alaska? I feel it's a major issue, and to what degree should they legally be practicing, and to what degree should there be educational requirement to protect the public's interest? I'm sure that with four bodies that are so-called professionals in this field, there may be a 3-1 split. In this case, it's up to us. Do we want to license them? Do we want to give the people, the public, a feeling of confidence that these people are being screened, that they go to?
Further questions of the witness? I note for the record that I just received communication that it's already in your packet. Also, I don't have any documentation for it, but this particular naturopath claims that there are six people now in the state that are practitioners in naturopathy. I have no documentation for it.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Martin. The next witness on our list is Dr. Scott Jamieson.
Should I state my name?
Please do, and your affiliation.
Okay. My name is Scott Jamieson. I'm a naturopathic doctor. And let's see, I have several comments I want to make. First of all, in my previous testimony, I spoke against a number of different points in House Bill 347. I want to make it clear that I am in favor of naturopaths being licensed, and that there were certain points in the bill that I disagreed with personally. However, Dr. Pettijohn and myself are both agree that we want good legislation and we want naturopaths to be licensed. Included in your packets, as Representative Tischer mentioned, is a position statement by Dr. Pettijohn in Anchorage. I will allow you to read that at your leisure. I will simply state that I concur with the points he has made in his position statement. I agree fully with him. I'd like to take the majority of my time to speak to specific points in the committee substitute, Dr. Fritz's committee substitute, with which I disagree, or changes I would like to see in it, if I were to support it.
Thank you. I was wondering, as you do that, if you might also, you made quite a number of very pertinent comments last time. I think it certainly is in the interest of the profession to have licensure, but as you pointed out, and as everyone I think agrees, it would be counterproductive if that bill that empowered it was not adequately written. So maybe as you go through the committee substitute, you would again make reference to the points that you covered last time in terms of this new substitute and make sure that everything that you would address is being addressed at this point.
Okay. I'll make every effort to do that.
I appreciate it.
Okay. In my original testimony, I spoke to the I spoke in favor of the establishment of a licensing board. I would still be in favor of this eventually, and I realize the difficulties with setting up a licensing board of 6 members or more for a profession that includes 2 currently practicing professionals in the state, 2 to 3. The committee substitute also gives to the Department of Commerce the authority to regulate and license nature of paths. So my opinion is the same there. Okay. On the committee substitute, page 2, line 6, where it states that we are required to have completed 2 years of post-secondary education, my comment is the same with this bill as with the with the committee substitute as with the House bill, that I would not be opposed to requiring a 4-year baccalaureate degree. In addition, I would like to see in both bills, and I'll point this out on the committee substitute, line 12 of the same page, where some aspects of the course of study are outlined. It indicates that we should have at least a total of at least 4,000 hours of instruction. There is no provision in the committee substitute or in the original bill for any kind of practical experience, any kind of internship or clinical, supervised clinical experience. In my education, I am required to have at least 1,500 hours of supervised clinical experience, and I would like to have that included in the bill, simply because it is in fact what what is the case in our profession, and I'd like to have that stated in a law as such. Okay. The committee substitute gives to the Department of Commerce the responsibility for testing naturopaths to see if they are qualified to practice in the state of Alaska. Dr. Fritz's committee substitute states that the department will be responsible for administering the exam. It doesn't give any statement of what we will be tested over. I have some problem with allowing the Department of Commerce to decide what naturopaths should be tested over and what they should be required to know in order to practice naturopathy. This goes back to my desire to have a licensing board where we are evaluated, where I am evaluated by my peers, members of my profession, and I do not feel out of line in asking for that.
Excuse me, Dr. Anderson.
Yes.
In that section, starting line 20 through 25, which is, I think, the section that you were addressing.
Right.
Yesterday, in a conversation that we had, that was one of my concerns also.
Right.
And I asked you the question about the type of examinations that, how would the Department of Commerce put an examination together with and so forth,
mm-hmm.
rather than leaving it to the practitioners who in the state, which seems to be self-serving, if you will, to a degree.
Sure.
You mentioned that there were well-established exams in states that have practitioners licensed, such as Oregon and Hawaii, and that perhaps that particular test might be used and required to be used until such time as it could be changed. Mr. Copeland?
Even if there is a limited number, perhaps, perhaps it would be feasible to set up a board or a mixed board that would, which could then decide that the Alaska exam shall be the Oregon exam or something of the appropriate year. That is, I don't believe it would be necessary for the board to go and draw up all the questions.
That was my
medical profession uses relatively uniform national standard.
If any form of bill at all passes and is established, they have to start out with something, is what we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And start out with something is what we were getting to. Mr. Gall?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've heard your objection. What is your recommendation specifically?
Okay. My recommendation would be that in the interim, until a board can be established, that the state of Alaska accept the licensing examination of a state such as Oregon or Alaska, where the licensing requirements are as stringent as we are asking for.
Yeah. I guess my question, though, is it would seem to me that would be dealt with in regulation, and that what you're trying to do is have the clause which states that an examination must be required in certain parameters in order that the selection of the Oregon law would conform with, or the Oregon test would conform with, the guidelines in the statute. In my opinion, and I may be incorrect, to name, say, during the interim we will use the Oregon law doesn't seem to me the sort of language we're looking for, but rather that the Oregon law fill the criteria which you're saying are lacking here. Could you possibly suggest what those criteria should be?
Okay. I'll make an attempt.
Okay. I don't see it in the statute.
I thought we might be coming to that.
Yeah, no, it talks about reciprocity.
In the in the original House Bill, in House Bill 347, page 2, lines 18 through 29, these are the subjects over which, on which, potential naturopaths are tested in that state for licensure as a naturopathic doctor. So I would my suggestion would be that I'm not exactly sure how to word this, but that
the language doesn't have to be
okay.
The drafter does that.
Okay.
We ask them to do that.
That this this be the criteria over which nature paths are tested, or I'm not real good at thinking on my feet.
You would suggest that we look to the Oregon law and see, for example, what kind of criteria are established there, and then
yes.
include some language in here to that effect. Okay. Thank
yes.
you very much.
Okay. Glad I was able to answer that. Even if in part. My largest disagreement with the committee substitute is within the scope of practice that it names. This is on page 3, lines 19 through 29, and continued on to the next page. The committee substitute severely limits the scope of practice of naturopathic doctors, and I could not agree to support any kind of legislation that does not allow us to do at least the majority of things we're trained to do. There is no within this bill, it states that we are, within the committee substitute, it states that we are allowed to use the systems of diagnosis for which we have been trained. But then it turns around and says that we may not use certain things that we are actually trained to do. It makes no provision for physical examination. It makes no provision for laboratory diagnosis. It makes no provision for X-ray diagnosis, all of which we are trained in and are taught to use in our course of practice in terms of diagnosing illness, dis-ease. I would like to see these things mentioned specifically so that the provision is there.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Okay, first of all, in terms of X-ray diagnosis, does your training qualify you for certification in other states as an X-ray technician or radiologist? How do you propose to demonstrate your competence in relationship to the requirements of licensure for X-ray activities in other states?
I am not aware. I do not have adequate information on the licensing for X-ray technologists in other states.
Okay, let me go on then from
okay.
there, because it's what I'd like to get out of this, and I'll try to be very brief, is for you to do just what you're trying to do, to outline those omissions in treatment.
Okay.
But I don't want to get into the same problem we're having with the optometrists, where the common normal practice of licensure is not something which you would normally qualify for without an extension of the law. Whereas if the normal licensing practices in most or other states indicate competence, then we should have no problem. But I don't think you're looking to extend common practice, you know, beyond what it is. So,
no. I mean,
I'd like to pick on X-ray, if I may, because some of the richest people I know are radiologists, and they work a few months a year, and then they go off to Italy to their estates. And they get away with that. I'm speaking of personal friends. They get away with that because their expertise is such a very critical factor. These are very highly trained people with, you know, degrees beyond their medical degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have the X-ray technician who is trained to administer an X-ray and has a different type of training. So what exactly are you speaking of, and what exactly is your training, and what are you talking about?
My educational background includes courses in X-ray positioning and technique, and X-ray diagnosis. Reading X-rays and looking for pathological signs. on specific radiographs. I do not think that anyone in the naturopathic profession would want to put themselves forward as a X-ray technician or any kind of specialist. We just want to be able to use this in our practice and to...
So you're saying you would send somebody to a hospital to have an X-ray taken, and then you would have a copy of that X-ray, and
yeah,
you would
to
look
be
at
able
it.
To rely on X-ray technicians and specialists for...
Okay.
Yeah, to be able to include this in our practice.
And the same would be the sort of thing that you're speaking about with lab diagnosis, or would you in fact... am I correct, Dr. Fritz, that laboratories in the state require licensure in order to...
Correct.
So, you know, do you purport to have the laboratory in your office qualify as a licensed medical laboratory, or are you saying that you would send out specimens?
We would send out specimens.
Okay. And then my understanding is that all three of these, physical exam, laboratory diagnosis, and X-ray diagnosis, would be permitted under the terms you're describing, under the phrase "use systems of diagnosis for which the naturopath," and there is a typographical error here,
yes,
has been trained. Clearly, no one is going to tell you you can't look at an X-ray and draw conclusions, nor are they going to tell you you can't read a lab report and draw conclusions. So I question whether what you're saying is necessary.
Okay, I'll agree with you.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Are there further questions before we go on with the testimony?
Except that he was in the process of listing the things that he
I wasn't going to interrupt him. I just want to know if there's questions before he went on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then proceed to...
Thank you. Okay. Line 23 through 25 on the same page 3 of the committee substitute, where it describes the actual scope of practice. Scope of practice, as it's listed in the committee substitute, restricts us to only a portion of the many different therapeutic tools in which we are trained. And I want to state that as we are trained in different therapeutic tools, we should be a law that licenses us as naturopaths should include those therapeutic tools in which we are trained. In other words, as a naturopath, I am trained in different forms of electrotherapy which are not stated in the House bill. As a naturopathic doctor, I am trained in homeotherapeutics, which is not listed in the House in the committee substitute. There are some problems with the...
Yes, what is homeopathic therapeutics? You could run that by us once.
Okay. I can give you a nutshell definition. When a person comes to a homeopath with a certain set of symptoms, the homeopath notes down those symptoms in minute detail and finds the commonly occurring substance which has been shown to create similar symptoms in a healthy person when given in large doses. Okay, then to the person who is manifesting these symptoms, you give a very minute dose of this substance, and what seems to happen is the body responds against this substance that's put in, and in so doing it responds against the condition which is causing those symptoms to manifest. Some examples that will make this a little more clear. Homeopathy runs entirely contradictory to the conventional way in which medications are prescribed, but a couple of examples may make this more clear. First of all, for people who have a background in physiology, pharmacology, biochemistry, the phenomenon of dose tolerance is well understood, where the more of a particular medication that you put into the body, the more you need to put in order to achieve a particular physiological effect. In other words, you need to keep increasing the dosage. this is commonly understood. The reason for this, in the homeopath's eyes, is that our bodies are homeostatic. They seek to achieve a balance. When we walk out of doors from a warm room into cold air, certain physiological responses occur where our body is responding to that temperature change. When you put anything into your body responds to it in one way or another. When you put one aspirin into your body responds against it. When you put two aspirin in, your body responds against it. This is why the phenomenon of tolerance exists in the first place. The homeopathic principle, then, is designed to take advantage of the body's propensity to respond against certain things, certain stimuli. And in my practice, I have found it to be very effective in treating diseases of the human system.
Very clearly, thank you.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I hope you'll forgive me for asking some of the questions, but I think this is both a very interesting and very, a bill that could have very significant impact and worthy of some close examination. In the last time that you spoke before us, you made reference to homeopathic diagnosis, and I asked you, it was in the context of my asking you what you charged for your services.
Oh, yes.
And you stated what your rate was for your normal naturopathic services, and then you said, however, I also practice this homeopathic diagnosis and treatment,
yes.
And for that, I do such and so. So
right.
That led me to believe that there were many naturopaths who were not also homeopaths, and therefore maybe a separate licensure is required rather than assuming that because you have this training, your fellow naturopath also does. Am I correct in that understanding,
okay,
or do you feel that the 4,000 hours generally provides this training?
Within the scope of my training, there is provision for a person concentrating in one particular subject or another. Many of my classmates have chosen to concentrate in acupuncture, Chinese medicine, nutrition, herbology, homeopathy. Okay, I chose to concentrate in homeopathy. So I would not know what to say to answer your question specifically. I don't know exactly what to say about requiring a separate license or a separate thing under a particular license.
I guess the problem, I've got one question or two. Try to keep them real short.
Okay.
One is that it would seem then we run into the same situation with acupuncture, which I noticed was also deleted from the original bill.
Right.
Not being able to specifically ascertain whether a naturopath has been trained in acupuncture or homeopathy or not, but there,
right.
It seems to me that if we're going to deal with a broad bill that's going to get you a quick licensure, it's going to have to deal with those non-specialty areas, and then possibly
mm-hmm.
there has to be some sort of a certificated test to see if you, in fact, can do acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Is, I think, probably the rationale for leaving some of those out. But maybe you could help me see another way to do it. What occurs to me first from the comments.
Okay. Beyond including specific tests for specific things, I can't think of a good thing at this
so
time.
You do feel that that's a legitimate problem?
It's a legitimate concern.
And my other question, very briefly, was what sort of ailments have you, in fact, had success in treating by homeopathic
The range of ailments that I've had success treating with homeopathy includes minor first aid injuries, acute colds, flus, sore throats, chronic let me think of the right wording for this one. Chronic non-specific poor health sorts of conditions. Chronic conditions involving mental emotional disturbances and
thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Dr. Chris?
What is Chinese medicine?
Okay. My understanding of Chinese medicine is that system of diagnosis and treatment revolving around the Oriental theory of the five elements and including acupuncture and its theories and herbal, nutritional, and physiological treatments aimed at stimulating what the Chinese doctors term the qi, or the what could be roughly translated in our language as being a life energy of the organism.
Did you have the hand up, Mr. Davis?
Thank you. I was just curious, Scott, how you dealt with, or how the Oregon law, let's say, for example, deals with licensing of naturopaths for these specific areas.
Okay. Within I do not have current information on that, so unfortunately I can't give you a detailed answer. My understanding is that portions of the exam are given on each topic, and anyone passing that exam needs to have a certain minimum level of expertise in order to pass the whole thing. I am sorry that I cannot give you a better answer than that.
That's fine, thank you.
Mr. Kopenin, did you have a hand up before? If you did not.
I was wondering if we could, if we don't have in town here, if our legal services don't have the statutes from the other states comparable.
I have some copies here. I have the one from Oregon.
Staff also have anything that relates to the actual licensing procedure or test or anything like that?
It's just very similar to the bill that we're proposing here.
Okay. It's very while we're handing those out, then would you proceed, Mr. Jameson?
Okay.
We were down on page 3, I think.
Okay. I was discussing the scope of practice. Continuing on from there, well, my statement regarding the scope of practice with regard to the committee substitute is the same as my statement for the scope of practice in my original testimony, of which you all have copies. So I won't belabor that point anymore. Line 27, 28 of the same page, where the committee substitute states that a naturopath may not perform surgery. My training has included, I will simply say the same thing that I included in my original testimony. My training has included minor surgery. My instructors for my minor surgical courses were licensed medical doctors. I feel adequately prepared to do minor in-house surgical repairs of lacerations and dealing with other superficial minor surgical procedures. And I would like to see a bill that would include that.
I have a question on surgery.
Sure.
Are you trained to I have one of these. that off, and are you trained to take out what I used to think was minor surgery, at least I thought that's what the profession called it, take out tonsils and things like that?
Okay. I am not trained
that's,
in taking out tonsils.
That's major surgery to me.
That's okay, taking out tonsils is beyond the scope of my training.
Very good.
Okay. Excision, okay. Taking things off of, okay, taking things off of the skin. Cutaneous excision biopsies are within the scope of my training. That is a delicate question, though, because there are things that look harmless and yet are not. But in terms of the actual surgical procedure, I do have that. That is within the scope of my training.
Dr. Christian and Mr. Bell.
Okay.
Minor surgery, Madam Chairman. The surgery that's being done on somebody else.
Yeah. Mr. Bell.
Thank you, Madam. What do you mean by electrical?
Okay. Within the scope of my practice, we have, there is a modality which is the clinical name for which is sine wave. This is the application of fluctuating electrical currents to the body for the stimulation of skeletal muscle with the aim of helping that muscle relax. Okay, this is used in cases of musculoskeletal tension, muscular spasms. Okay, dealing with the musculoskeletal aspect of the body. Okay, this is one of those. Do you want me to list a few more?
No, that's enough. I guess what I'm curious to know is whether this is something exclusive to naturopathy or whether this is used outside by licensed physicians as well.
Okay. As far as my understanding goes, sine wave is used by licensed physicians also.
And
or they have the option to use it.
What sort of minor surgery would you think would be within the scope of your practice? And maybe you could give us a phrase that would get you out of the areas that would put you in conflict with the medical profession and
okay.
keep you in the areas of your surgery.
As I've stated in my previous testimony, I do not want to do any surgical procedure that enters any one of the major body cavities, either the cranial cavity, the chest cavity, the abdominal or pelvic cavities. The scope of my surgical training is in repairing minor lacerations and tears not greater than 2 inches in length. And I mean, specifically from my medical doctor instructor, not greater than 2 inches in length and not greater than a half an inch in depth, and involving none of the underlying structures such as ligaments, tendons, arteries, veins, or nerves. I'm not going to be repairing arteries or suturing up disrupted nerves.
Doctor, how do you determine the depth of a wound?
Well, the best way I know of is looking at it. And, I mean, observation.
So it seems as if you're speaking about first aid, essentially.
Yes.
Proceed then.
Okay. Page 4, line 2, item 4. A naturopath shall not prescribe drugs. I have a problem with the way this is worded, because many of the herbal medicines which I am trained to use contain substances which are defined as drugs, and yet I am trained how to use them, and they are part of my practice, and they have been a part of the naturopathic profession
Are they controlled drugs? I mean...
Oh, controlled substances?
Well, any of the herbs and so forth that you're talking about that may have a content
of
a
something,
drug, if you will.
Something considered as a
like
controlled...
Like some of the heavy stuff that
okay.
you don't want to give people because it's...
Okay, I do not want to use any controlled substances. And I don't even want to use any herbs that have controlled substances in them. Okay. But for instance, the herb, the plant foxglove, contains the compound digitalis, and in certain and I am trained in the use of foxglove, and yet digitalis, digitoxin, linoxin, are so-called drugs that are prescribed by conventional physicians. Also,
they're among the most dangerous drugs in the hand of the amateur that you can get hold of. Linoxin and the other, digoxin and the other synthetic digitalis-like compounds. And you know, before you use them, you have to know something about diagnosing the heart condition for which you're prescribing them.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's saying that those drugs, if you will, are contained in an herb.
Called foxglove.
Yeah,
isn't
and
that's true.
In Europe, may I just ask Dr. Chris then? I don't know about
but foxglove. There are others that are synthetics, linoxin and digoxin.
Is foxglove a powder or a
You can have a tincture, you can make it into a powder. It can be presented in various forms, pill forms if you want.
How high of a concentration of the other drugs that you mentioned are in foxglove?
Oh, I can't
substantial, would you say?
I would say that digitalis is the drug that you find in foxglove. The others are like it if they're made in a laboratory.
I just wanted to know if I took some foxglove, if I could tell it.
Well, you could, sure, if you went too extreme.
Okay, the only other thing I wanted to say on this same point is that I'm concerned about the definition of the term drug. If a drug is a substance that's given internally for therapeutic purposes, water, vitamin C, and other commonly occurring substances could be classed as drugs, and I could be prevented from telling a patient to drink more water, having them take vitamin C for a common cold, and I am concerned about the implications of this term.
On the other hand, Dr. Jameson, there's concern on the other side that untrained individuals can administer products that may be very damaging to themselves, to the patient.
Yeah.
That could be taken care of by changing number four, the use of prescription drugs. That would leave out everything. That would leave the over-the-counter and the stuff that you get at health food stores and concentrations of vitamin C and B and B12 and all those things that you can take by mouth could be legally prescribed. But prescription drugs would, I think, accomplish what we want.
Okay.
That's acceptable. I've spoken individually with Representative Tischer about some minor concerns I have with statements within the section on imposition of disciplinary actions. I don't feel that I need to make any direct changes in any of these statements I would be willing to accept them as they sit. The last thing I'll address myself to is the definition of naturopathy at the end of the chapter. And Dr. Pettijohn addresses this in his position statement. The definition in the committee substitute is hardly representative of the naturopathic profession as I know it. The Oregon definition? Okay. I'll comment on this in a minute. The definition of naturopathic medicine and naturopathy that Dr. Pettijohn and I prefer is the definition which is given in the Dictionary of Occupational Titles from the U.S. Department of Labor. I don't know if I should go to the trouble of reading it out loud all the way through.
It's a part of our packet, and the members can read it.
Okay, you may read it at your leisure. I would prefer to have a definition that defines naturopaths as they are, as opposed to what someone else wants them to be. With regard to the definition of naturopathy in the Oregon statutes, I have a little bit of question about the statement use of drugless methods with regard to the same statement I've already made regarding the term drugs. I think we need a real clear definition of that. But other than that, the definition in the Oregon statutes is acceptable to me.
Are there any further questions of the witness? Mr. Gall?
No, thank you, I'm sorry.
Thank you. And, thank you very much, Dr. Pettijohn.
Yeah,
we appreciate your time.
Thank you for your time.
Next on our list for witnesses is Dr. Revolt from the Department of Health and Social Services.
Dr. Revolt, represent the Department of Health and Human Services. We have testified previously on the original version of the bill, and we opposed it for a lot of reasons. Haven't even got the final copy of our position paper on the committee substitute, but few comments about it. We think that the committee substitute addresses most of the objections that we raised in our position paper in the original bill. We would like to offer a couple of additional suggestions. One is, if I can find it.
Dr. Bo, are you going to show us or line by line, or is it going to be general?
Well, there's a couple places I'd like to show
right
you line by line. Yes, ma'am.
On the committee substitute.
Right.
Okay, good.
And we would suggest that 845.010.
Could you give us the page number first?
Well, then I'll have to find it by the
page
first.
Okay.
Yeah. Number four. It's lines 1 through 24. We would suggest that it read, provide for temporary permits to engage in the practice of naturopathy for persons who meet the requirements of Alaska Statute 845.110.
Could you
that's
go
the next
slowly, because I'd like to write this down.
Okay. Modification of the language of 845.010, number 4, is recommended as follows. That number four read, in other words, I'm proposing a substitute for it.
Just the 22nd line there.
21, I guess it's 21, 22 through 24.
Okay.
provide for temporary permits to engage in the practice of naturopathy for persons who meet the requirements.
That's where we want to start right there.
Okay. To meet the requirements of Alaska Statute 845.110, which is on page 2 of this, and we're referencing 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. In other words, everything but number 4, if you turn to page 2, you can see that under licensure as a naturopath, starting on line 3 and going through line 19, we say everything except lines 13 and 14, which would not be pertinent to this particular one. Continuing on, temporary permits are valid until certification of the results of the next examination given under 845.120.
Excuse me, Doug, do you have a copy?
No, ma'am, that's all I have.
Okay.
Just the rough draft.
I just want to be sure we got all your done. I'm losing myself here just a little bit. Dr. Fritz.
Dr. Rabeau, would it be possible for you folks to
send you over a position?
So staff can do it because they can't catch
Yeah, what happens is, right.
We'll send you over a copy of this position.
Will you?
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, as I say, I ran out of time and all I've got is just the draft in front of me. But when I go back, I'll have it put together.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And this language will make more specific requirements for temporary licensure. Seems like an awful lot. But what we're trying to say is that lines 21 through 24 are weak as written. It is recommended that, let me see, I better find the page for you. Page 3, lines 21 and 22 be deleted, since this may be in conflict with the other provisions of the section, such as the exclusion of surgery or the use of drugs. Because the previous witness testified, he feels that they have been trained in these systems, and that this may be in conflict with the rest of it. In other words, A1, which is lines 21 and 22, we strongly recommend be deleted. The other comments that I have are basically general. You want to push it now?
Mr. Gall and Mr. Davis. Mr. Davidson and Mr. Gall, I don't care which one. Go ahead.
No problem. Okay, thank you. I missed the last thing you said, Dr. Bull.
Well,
which part did you think were considered?
Number 1 on page 3 and section 08-45-16, the scope of naturopathic, A1, which is lines 21 and 22.
That whole thing.
Delete. We recommend. While you're on that page, question, we had a little doubt as to whether lines 3 through 10 meant that...
On which page?
Same page, 3.
10, okay.
While you're on that page, that 1, 2, and 3, in other words, lines 3 through 10, whether the stipulation meant that they had to have meet all 3 of those.
Dr. Rabeau, before getting to your second point there, it seems to me that you can't delete lines 21 and 22 without replacing them with something. They are going to use some system of diagnosis if they're licensed. And if you wish to limit that system of diagnosis, I think we have to so state, but we can't eliminate the authorization to diagnose if you license them to treat. Do you have any recommendations as to what you would do? The circumstances, as I understand them, have been that there are certain basic training procedures, and then a naturopath can extend his training within the scope of the 4,000 hours.
Well, I would like to defer. I'll be happy to supply you with a response on that, but I'd like to the opportunity to think about it a little bit. This is, we feel, a major bill, and as such, requires serious consideration.
While we're talking, let me just also ask you about another thing that was brought up and that you moved past, so before we get too far past it. The licensure by the Department of Commerce, do you feel that that is a sufficient form of licensure?
Well, I have a comment on that, and I was going to get to it. I might as well, I'll read it to you now. The bill would require the Division of Occupational Licensing of the Department of Commerce to evaluate qualifications of applicants, establish educational requirements, evaluate schools, and conduct examinations for licensure. This department and, presumably, professional groups in the state would be available to assist as required in the discharge of these duties. In other words, well, hit me, Harry, sitting right behind me, is we feel that they should call on some outside assistance in the discharge of these duties. I mean, not relieving them of the responsibilities, but, for example, our department, and I'm sure that the State Medical Society, the pharmaceutical group, would be very willing to provide advice and guidance to the division. See, this bill is somewhat unique insofar as you don't have a board. A board in itself doesn't necessarily mean anything if a board is carefully structured to provide that the majority members of that board are of that particular profession, because then you can view it and understandably as possibly skewed in its deliberation.
So you will have some specific recommendations on that when you present your written material?
Well, I mean, I think we did in our comment that our comment is enough, that I think that any time this scope passes the legislature, there should be some legislative intent along with it to define clearly what was the intent of the legislature. And, for example, in something like this, I would recommend that a comment like this be strengthened by the committee.
And would you care to go back to what you were saying now about page 3? Are you suggesting that the word "and" be added after the semicolon at the end of section 1, line 5?
Yes, because that's what confused me. If it had been "and one," one and two and three, but instead it's one, two, and three.
Right.
And I find it a little bit confusing. It's a minor point.
Thank you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Do you have another question, Mr. Davis?
Well, I'd like to go back for a minute to page 3, line 21, if I could. You don't feel that this isn't the realm that these people should be practicing in, using that one section 1 that you said delete that whole section? They should not be doing anything.
Well, I sat down with my colleagues, reviewed this morning, and I admit we're under pressure of time, and that we felt that it was important that it be deleted. But as I say, I will be very happy to supply the committee with our reconsideration on this.
We'd like your recommendation.
Because there has to be something.
Dr. Fritz?
Dr. Abode, referring again to page 3, line 21, line that you wish to have deleted along with line 22, couldn't that be straightened out by saying using the system of diagnosis for which naturopathy and then as defined in this bill? That would make it acceptable, wouldn't it?
That would probably be, because as it is, there you can run into some serious quarrels over the question about has been trained.
Yes.
For example, I sat there and I listened to Dr. Jameson, and I happen to have the booklet that comes from the, I don't know how you pronounce it, Bastyr?
John Bastyr.
College of Naturopathic Medicine, which is one of the part of the National College of Naturopathic Medicine. And while I was listening to it here, I was struck by a number of things just looking through it. For example, it talks about radiology and ultrasound, and it shows that they get the grand total of 55 hours to cover the diagnostic uses of X-ray and ultrasound. That is their
the total training in the college. The second thing that I had a question about was, and I would like, personally would like to see strengthened, and is that it requires not 1,500 hours, but 1,710 hours of clinical externship and preceptorship. But there is no allowance whatsoever for any training after the academic school. In other words, there is no requirement, for example, that there be a year internship or a two-year residency or whatever.
I thought that Scott had given us, he suggested, what on page two, Dr. Bull, where it would require that the applicant for a license would must have at least 4,000 total hours of instruction. I thought that he asked about including something like 1,500 hours of that for, I mean, talked about the practical experience or internship.
No, that's the trouble of that is not internship, that is externship.
Oh.
That is time spent during the academic 4 years on this clinical training, this preceptorship and externship. What I'm proposing is postgraduate. To somewhat simulate, and I know we differ on this, but in medicine it requires now that you have an internship or a residency following your graduation from medical school.
Supervised by.
That's right. And I would suggest, there's nothing in this bill that suggests that. I would suggest the addition of that.
Okay.
One final comment, in case there are any more questions, is that we think this removed most of the objections that we had and the problems that we had. And my final, if I can find my draft here.
Could I ask you a question
mm-hmm.
before we go any further, Doctor? The committee substitute says at least 4,000 hours in instruction. I haven't the foggiest idea how long in terms of months or years that might be. What would that?
That's four nine. That's four school years or nine. Four 9 month years.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. I'd be. If you'd like, I'd be happy to leave.
I thought it was four, but I need the clarification.
Mm-hmm.
Anything less than four certainly would not do, I would think.
Well, that's
in
why.
I guess what I'm bringing that up for doctors because the way I made my notes here would indicate that of that 4,000 hours that is stipulated here as a requirement might come under practical experience with under the supervision of a licensed practitioner in this. But in are you
I'm talking about postgraduate
over and above
yes,
that
postgraduate
how many hours did you say that would be a
I would suggest a minimum of 1 year.
And
call it an internship if you want.
Could
if you want to remain.
Would it be best to define it in hours or just a flat year?
12 calendar months.
12 calendar.
A couple other comments. The questions were asked. See, these were where we have some differences. Let me read you the last statement.
I'm trying to absorb what you're saying and making notes of it. We don't
right.
differ on this topic at
no.
all.
No, but you're liable to miss. Construe my next remarks as
I'll try not
as
to.
Differing. Okay. Well, let me read you my last statement on our draft. With the recommended changes, that's everything that I've talked about, the Department of Health and Social Services has no objection to the passage of this bill. Now let me tell you a couple things. The question of surgery was raised and the practice of surgery. For example, in this book here, it shows that they get exactly 36 total hours of training in quote minor surgery. That is grossly inadequate. That is why I and the representing the department say that the bill with the changes that we're talking about the department would have no objection to. Without them the department still retains its objections.
Mr. Galvin, could I just go back to that minor surgery? Staff just dropped on our desk a definition of minor surgery. And there apparently is a large degree of difference in what the definition is Dr. Fitz came up with probably the best one. As long as it's done, somebody else is all right. Is there a wide interpretation of what minor surgery is in various fields of endeavor, doctors? Because I sense that there must be.
Yes, there
I
is.
I consider minor surgery, you know, kicking a pimple off my with a little pin, but other people say minor surgery is, years ago it used to be tonsillectomies, which are certain
right.
major surgery. And so times, well, you know, but I've heard that.
That's right. Yes, there is. There's quite a wide variation, and that's why.
So it should be really defined if we're talking about surgery of any kind.
See,
at all.
That's right, because we have problems. And I don't. Is this the Oregon one here? The definition of minor surgery in the Oregon bill is means the use of electrical or other methods for the surgical repairing and care incident thereto of superficial lacerations and abrasions. Now. Dr. Jameson defined that as his instructor saying not more than 2 inches in length and not more than 1/2 inches deep and not going into any of the cavities of the body. But for example, a laceration of the cornea is a very serious injury, and yet it is not accepted from that, although it probably should be. Benign superficial lesions. You don't know a lesion is benign for sure until it has a pathological examination, that is, a microscopic one, and the removal of foreign bodies located in the superficial structures. Well, the ear, the external canal, the nose are, I guess, superficial structures, and yet Dr. Fritz, who was, is, of course, a specialist. When he was a real doctor, an ear, nose, and throat specialist that could speak better to it. And then, of course, it says the use of anesthetics and local anesthetics in connection therewith. It's interesting that the state of Washington, which is actually happens to be the home of the school now, their law for the licensure of naturopaths comes under the Drugless Healer Act and does not go into the details that, for example, Oregon does, where there is a match of the school. I recognize fully that there is room for all kinds of healers in the health of individuals, and I recognize that one can point with pride to cases of exceptional results and also not mention horror stories, and they exist in every field of health endeavor. We think, and I'm speaking for the department, that in the best interest of the public, that a bill that come out of this committee not go beyond the scope of what I have talked about, which does take exceptions, for example, to the previous witness.
Mr. Gall?
I'm just... I'm interested in some of the comments made by the last witness and yourself in the area of surgery and other kinds of certification. It would seem to me that with the EMTs who are minimally trained, we have a licensing practice for people engaged in essentially first aid. Do you feel that we could put in the regulations that would be the result of this legislation criteria which would imply the same level of training for these individuals to provide the same kind of first aid, which may or may not have to do with entering these superficial orifices, I don't know, but have nothing to do with surgery. And yet that would allow the first aid function, which is what the last witness referred to.
I don't think you'll find anything that says that the EMT, one, for example, has the authority to suture lacerations. Stop bleeding, hemorrhage, yes. I don't think you'll find anything in there that says that. One of the problems we face in the state, and I think you and I had a discussion about this once, is that we have urban areas and we have rural areas, and some of the rural areas are unbelievably primitive. I know I spent 11 years out in a rural area in this state, and you make do with what you have. Something is better than nothing. And as a result, now we're running into the conflict of the fact that we demand professionalism from people with licensures. On the other hand, we allow acts that we prohibit them from doing to be done out in the rural areas. One of the problems, of course, is, I guess, or one of the answers is that the naturopaths and the optometrists, and these are probably two poor examples to use, is that they want to practice in the urban areas where you can maintain the latest and the up-to-date professional level. You know, if you set up a, don't laugh at this, but if you set up a license saying that, you know, if they stayed out in the bush that they could do these things, I would see no problem to it, because certainly they're far better trained than the, for example, the community health aides that are operating out there. But we do this with knowledge and a great deal of trepidation, because believe me, I'm not denigrating the community health aides. I don't know what we do in the state without them. But for example, there are a lot of horror stories of those that exceed the scope of what they're supposed to do without referring it and being directly under the guidance of the physician.
I think, Doctor, what I'm trying to say is that, let us say we have a licensing procedure,
mm-hmm.
it will have specific regulatory guidelines that will establish the level of training. I think we're going to have to look to make a decision as to what it is we're licensing. Obviously, there are certain sorts of first aid which are appropriate, and there are certain sorts of surgical procedures that are not appropriate. And I think we're going to have to ask you for some evaluation of how the current regulations and training requirements relate to what it is we're setting up here. And I don't expect you to have an answer for that today, but I would hope you could.
Well, there is an answer.
Some guidance.
The answer is, remember that under one whole paradigm, it's emergency. An emergency precedes everything, and everything that is done under the cloak of emergency. And I say that in an urban area, for example, in Juneau or in Anchorage, that those are not cases of emergency, that there are tertiary facilities, for example, but not only primary and secondary, but tertiary facilities.
Just one brief thing, if I may, is on the acupuncture issue. It seems that homeopathy is essentially covered under naturopathy as defined in the statute, but acupuncture might not be. Do you see a separate certification for that? Do you see its exclusion, or do you see its inclusion?
Well, frankly, I don't think anybody ought to be practicing acupuncture that hasn't studied it in the Far East. Now, in their catalog, they have a department of homeopathy, and I might say that they get over 100 hours of lectures, discussion in the field of homeopathy, and they have a department of oriental medicine where they have acupuncture 1 and 2, and it's 77 hours, and it provides training in acupuncture treatment. And then if they want experience in it, there's even an acupuncture clinic that's available. I am very leery of acupuncture. I'm not denying it, because I know that it exists and it works. But I have found that the only people that have really been able to successfully apply it have been people who either studied in the Far East or came from the Far East and obviously studied there.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of charisma involved partial hypnosis involved in so-called use of acupuncture by people who are not really trained in it. We, the Western world, and I might say the Western world of medicine, has not really been yet able to figure out why acupuncture works. And that's one of our defeats.
And with that marvelous statement, I'm calling your attention to it's 5 minutes before floor time, and I call it meeting to adjourn. Thank you very much, Dr.
Stewart?
Second.